your adventure awaits. It's time for Stamp Your Passport. Presented by MetLife Worldwide Benefits.
Hello, and welcome to Stamp Your Passport from MetLife Worldwide Benefits. I'm your host and an account executive at MetLife, Helen Thompson, and I am so excited that you have joined us for this episode. On this show, we'll be sharing firsthand stories, helpful tips, and important how-tos for living your life abroad. Today, we're diving into a topic that's super important when you're living abroad: staying healthy and finding the right medical care. But as we are seeing in the latest data from MetLife's 2024 Expat Employee Benefits Trend Study, which is available now at metlife.com/EBTSexpat, rising healthcare costs and an increasing focus on holistic health has created serious need for employers to update their expat benefit packages in order to secure and retain the best talent. But what do these healthcare challenges actually look like for people on the ground living their lives abroad? Joining me now to talk about this critical topic is Felicia Wallace, who works in the medical field and travels to Guam for work, and my colleague here at MetLife, Berna Bassar. Both Felicia and Berna are expats just like me, and they are here now to help us navigate the challenges and opportunities of keeping well in your new home. So get ready to explore. Our journey begins now. Well, welcome, Felicia and Berna. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This show is all about the beauty and complexities of life abroad. So for you, what was it that made you decide to make the move abroad? Felicia, perhaps you can go first.
I train doctors and nurses on medical software, so I can travel out of the country, domestic and international. I love it because everything's paid for me. I get a chance to meet different people. I explore different cultures, eat fantastic food, see the wonders of this world, the beauty of trees, you know, engaging in different air quality and all of that. So it's been a blessing to be a part of a team that gets to travel internationally and domestically to do the type of work that I do. So when I'm not working or training, I really just enjoy my scenery. You know, I enjoy the serenity and the peace of whatever country that I'm in. So that's what I love about it. Then stamping my passport too.
What a great way to conduct your professional life and combine it nicely with your personal. That sounds amazing. Berna, how about you?
Yeah, I moved abroad for career opportunities and also to be exposed to different cultures. I lived and worked both in Belgium and United States. I moved to the United States in January 2012, first just for school and stayed there.
And here you are.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. You never know where life is going to take you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Berna, what are some of the things that you struggle with or miss the most when you first started living outside your home country?
The biggest challenge when I first came here was the language. In Turkey, my first foreign language was German. I went to an Austrian high school, so I hadn't have enough opportunity to practice English. I had a lot of opportunity to write, but not to speak. So I will say definitely language, it was one of them. And I had also other challenges like getting a credit card or figuring out how to rent an apartment, because as you move to another place, you learn about different practices and rules and so forth.
It's a constant learning experience, isn't it?
Exactly.
And Felicia, you kind of get to come home a little more frequently, but when you are away from home, what are the things that you struggle with the most?
Sometimes it can be the language. You know, certain places that I've been to, it's really, really foreign feeling. And it's like I stand out like this tourist or something like that. Some places are friendly and some people aren't sometimes, but I'm the type of person, I bring energy anywhere I go. I'm always smiling, I'm always saying hi, but you know, it could be a language issue. I would believe would probably be the most issues that I've had. And you know, sometimes when I went to use the currency, I went to go use my credit card or debit card or something like that, you know, I've been kind of looked at upon like they needed all this extra identification when I went to use it. So I really didn't like that. It just made me feel like an outcast, pretty much.
Yeah.
And also, what else? The food. So I did find that being outside the country, you know, in different countries, the food is just, I don't know, it just tastes better. It's much fresher, you know, but I didn't see that as a challenge. I saw that as, you know, something that I really enjoyed pretty much.
And well, that leads nicely into the next topic here about health and well-being. So maybe you can expand on that a little bit in terms of strategies that you've used to maintain your physical health and your well-being while living abroad. Is the dietary component pretty huge for you? And are there other things that you implement as well?
Another challenge too is finding a gym.
Right.
That's the thing, you know, because I have gym memberships here where I can, you know, I have a sauna, I can go swimming and things of that nature. But the places that I stayed, you know, they had a gym in the facility, but it wasn't kind of like what I was used to. But that was a challenge. But as far as the dietary, no, once I found a spot that I could pick the same things out and utilize it as if I was in the United States, then that was kind of like my go-to. Then I did, you know, research before I went, you know, I had some word of mouth things, you know, there's other people, there's other contractors that's there with me as well. I got information from them. So it really wasn't bad, you know, but, you know, being gone, you know, 8 weeks at a time or something like that, it was just, you know, I'd be trying to come back home, but then I really, really be wanting to stay too, because I know the food is a lot different and fresher to me.
So do you find if you can get the food and the exercise components balanced, that helps with your overall well-being when you're out of the country?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
Oh, it sounds like you've got an excellent handle on your physical health. That's great.
Yeah. I'm not getting any younger. So
none of us are.
Right. You know, those aches and creaks and pains walking downstairs, yep, and all that stuff. I really take my health and wellness very, very, very seriously. You know, I'm in my 50s. I'm not on any type of medication or anything like that. And I'm going to try to just ride it out as long as I can.
Good for you. It's a great way to live life.
Yes, ma'am.
How about you, Berner? How have you adapted to your change of lifestyle and manage your health and well-being, especially your mental health, living away from home?
So when I first came in 2012, when I first moved to the United States, I gained lots of weight. Actually, I was eating the same amount of food I was eating back in Turkey, but for some reason, I was gaining weight. And part of the reason I think I was because I was eating outside all the time. And in 2013, I moved to Belgium. I lived there for around a year. I moved to a very, very small city called Leuven. And I learned to cook there because almost everywhere was closing at 5 p.m. So if I didn't cook, I would be hungry all night. So once I get back to the United States, this time I didn't gain weight again because I started to cook. It made a big difference. Mental health is a very, very good question because I did my PhD here. And during those times, I could see I was risking my mental health because sometimes I was going to school without any sleep the next day if there is a lab. So I think it's, you learn over time. It's all experiences. Over time, you learn what's important in your life and you set your priorities accordingly. Living both in Belgium and in United States, and most of the time I lived in New York, which has a very hardworking culture, I can see the differences in terms of work style. And sometimes, yeah, you just need to experience. And based on how you feel in the long term, you realize what's important for you and what should be your priorities. At this stage in my life, I'm definitely taking care of my mental health and work-life balance. And I'm making sure that my health is good, my mind is healthy, and my mind is good.
I think being an expat makes you adaptable in life and open to change, but taking on something like a PhD without your normal support system around must have been a pretty big undertaking.
Yeah, it was a good learning experience.
I can imagine. And how, we'll kind of extend that a little bit in terms of the physical health. How did you, when you first went to Belgium, or I guess more significantly the United States, how did you go about finding medical care and making sure that you had physicians and all the medical piece taken care of?
So when I was at the university, I first moved to Michigan, and Michigan State University had a good healthcare system. So it was very easy for me to find a doctor on campus.
Okay.
But once I moved out of that health system, everything seemed so confusing for me. Also because of the language barrier, the way you make schedules. Like in Turkey, I had my doctors for long years, so I had a rhythm. I knew whom to see when something happens. In the United States, for that reason, for some years, I tried not to go to a doctor unless I had to, because it felt like such a burden to me to find a doctor, to find the right specialization, and to know whether they will be in your insurance or not, which was also a challenge for me. I wasn't familiar with that concept either. Learning how insurance works, what out-of-pocket is, they were all new. I had no clue about those concepts. So it was a little bit long learning process, I will say. And also medications, even name of medications. You learn over time by asking, by searching on Google, asking your friends, colleagues. So overall, it was a long learning process, but now I'm in a good place.
You're in a good place. Good. It's quite a complex system that we have here in the US. It's unique to any other country, I think, and it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
Felicia, how have you found, in terms of employee benefits or employee perks provided by your employer, being helpful in supporting your health and well-being while you're abroad? I know you're on shorter term assignments, but does your employer make any particular things available to you to help when you are out of the country?
Yes, they do. A lot of time, like I say, I worked on military bases,
okay,
training the military staff who needed to know this particular software. So I had the opportunity to see military doctors. And that's really, I don't know if something that they normally do or whatever, because I'm still a civilian, but I'm still as a contractor and I was on their base. So, you know, I had to have a physical and all that before I even went. And I had the opportunity to see their specialists and their doctors and stuff that was literally on the base. The thing is just trying to, you know, get a doctor that you would vibe with, you understand? Being a female, you just kind of want females for certain things and you may not want males for certain things. So that had been an issue in the beginning, but ended up panning out very well. It did. So that was one of the perks of, you know, of the job. And then they had discounted therapists that I, you know, need to see, because health, wealth, and mental health is definitely important, especially when you're out of the country. You don't have your support system, like you were saying earlier, Helen, and it can be kind of stressful.
Well, I'm glad you had that level of support. That's great.
Well, yeah, I definitely took advantage of that. Yeah, I definitely did. Just if I wanted to talk, just talk. So that's exactly what I did.
No, good for you.
Then discounts to yoga sessions. There was a couple of other different things, spas and stuff like that.
And do you feel like having that kind of support provided by your employer, is that one of the things that makes you comfortable continually going on these overseas assignments?
Oh, definitely.
No, it's so critical.
Yeah, it is. Very much so.
Now, have either of you been in the unfortunate position of facing a medical emergency while you're abroad? And if so, how did you navigate that particular situation?
Well, I do deal with chronic pain. Sometimes I have a bulging disc or whatever, and it touches my nerves, and that could really just be very, very excruciating at times. And it was hard. It seemed like it took forever for my medical records. I started my medical records transfer so they can have it on the base long before I even left, because I know it could take forever. And I had ran out of my medication while I was there. And it seemed like it just took forever for them to piece together my medical records and see that, you know, I have a history of taking this particular medication and to find out where to get it. Find out where to get it done. I mean, where to get it filled. But no serious, you know, issues or anything like that. You know, it was just kind of like my medication.
No, but I think that speaks to the transparency that we take for granted in our home country, that the doctor's records and everything are going to be readily available. And, you know, they're just not when you're abroad.
That's correct. So, yeah, that was kind of a hassle in the beginning, but.
Yeah. Berna, how about you? Have you had anything going on with your health that's been a bit of a challenge because you're not with your friends and family or?
Yeah, I had a bicycle accident and my ligaments were torn.
Ooh.
And I couldn't walk for months, and it started like 6 months for me to walk again properly. I was lucky my mom came to take care of me.
Oh, you gotta love that.
Yeah, but I don't know what I would do if I didn't have her, to be honest. It's a challenging situation. It's something you take things for granted, being able to take care of yourself. So I never thought about what I would do if something like that happened to me. You never think about it until it happens.
Until it happens.
Right. Yeah. Taking something away is walking.
Yeah. Even, you know, who's going to drive you to your doctor's appointments and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had it was my left foot, so I could step on my right foot with crutches, but still it was a challenge.
That's a lot. And when that happened, was that at the point in time in your journey when you had kind of learnt to navigate the US healthcare system, or was that earlier on?
I will say that experience helped me to learn the system.
That was your learning curve? Okay.
Now I know very well. Before that experience, I didn't know the healthcare system very well.
And there's a lot of layers there with different specialists and hospitals in that kind of scenario.
Yes, yes. Because I quickly went to a closest clinic, but then I learned that you should go to the best hospital you know or best doctor you know in the area, unless you're not like losing blood. So yeah, it was overall a very good learning experience in terms of where to go in certain health situations.
And what not to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that injury has now healed itself.
Yes, yes, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, excellent. And we've kind of touched on this a little bit more, but maybe you have something to elaborate on. How do both of you approach stress and burnout? Are there resources and support networks that you've relied on when you're not at home? Felicia, I know you've spoken about yoga and taking care of your health. Is there anything else there?
I wake up every morning and thank God for His grace and mercy for even providing me my eyes to open and for me to still be breathing. So my serenity is, you know, I can go sit on the side of beach on some rocks or in a mountain or on a trail or something. And I just take in all of the nature. That's something that I just do every day. So I really don't put into the atmosphere stress and anxiety, because we're not supposed to be having a mind of fear. You understand? And it's something that you have to work on and learn every single day. But it gets easier. I'm not going to fear or stress or allow being anxious about anything that I can't control to control me. So when I speak positivity and clarity and all that stuff into the atmosphere, that's what I get in return. And I truly believe that it's the law of attraction. So I want to breathe and speak positivity and just be in a good light. You understand? I want my light to shine so people can say, why are you just, you know, this is going on and I'm stressed out and freaking out and you're just over there calm.
It sounds like you're very good at taking your life practices wherever you are and keeps you grounded in a peaceful place.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Berna, how about you?
As for this year, I'm also going to yoga, which is really, I think, helping both the body and mind. And I think over time, I learned to be stressed less, but still sometimes things happen. And I can find myself stressed in even if it's a rare state situation. I notice it can happen to me all. And I started to do this. If I don't have any plans after work, even if it's 7, 8, 9 p.m., I walk to the East River. So from my apartment, I live in Long Island City, New York. From my apartment to the East River, it takes around 25 minutes, half an hour, one way. Two way, it's 1 hour. And I also walk a little bit there. So I made it a habit. I'm forcing it to do it every day because it's exercise and it's also watching the river. It's really, really watching the water, any type of water, fountains, lakes.
Very therapeutic.
It's really relaxing me. So even if it was a relaxing, stressful day for me, when I go there and watch the river for 10 minutes, it's helping me a lot.
Yeah, you see a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you've both got some very healthy practices to get through stress and burnout. That's incredible.
Yeah, and I like audiobooks too, a lot too. I love audiobooks.
Yes, that's another good one.
Yeah, I keep headphones on. Listening to something. Breathe in, breathe out, self-help, all of that.
No, good for you. Well, it's obviously working, so that's great. Felicia, do you have any advice to give to expats who may be a bit concerned about accessing quality medical care when they're living abroad?
I would just do my research. Honestly, I would do my research.
Would you recommend people do the research before they go on their expat assignment?
Oh, well, yeah, I would definitely do that. Yeah, I would definitely do that. And you would think that people would, but, you know, some people don't. You know, just kind of just going with the flow. But if you know you're going to be gone 2 months or 3 months or something, it's something that you definitely need to work on and make sure that you have that in your back pocket so you just don't kind of be stuck in case of any type of emergency pops up. You just don't want to be out there.
And Berner, I know we've touched on this a little bit as well, but are there any cultural differences or nuances in healthcare practices that you've had to adapt to? So what do you think is the main difference between seeking healthcare in Europe and seeking healthcare in the US? What's the one big thing that stands out to you?
So in Belgium, I don't remember going to Turkey, but I grew up in Turkey. And so I think the biggest difference is, in Turkey, if you are working for a company, you have insurance by default. You don't pick an insurance. And the type of insurance you get by default by working at a company or by government or at a private company, you can go to any government facility, any government hospitals, which is a big portion of the healthcare system in Turkey. And the cost is very minimum, close to nothing. If you see a healthcare professional at a government hospital, at a state hospital, if you want to go to a private hospital, you buy it extra on your own without the involvement of your company. So I think here it's a whole different process. You need to get your insurance, buy it. You have to pick a certain type of insurance. Usually companies have several options to pick from, and some doctors are covered, some doctors are not covered, so which is something new to me. And so I believe it's really important to know what your insurance covers.
No wonder you had trouble adapting when you came here. That's a huge difference.
It is, yes, it is. So when I was first on campus, it was very convenient. I didn't notice the difference, but once I was out of campus.
Out in the real world.
In the real world, I realized the major differences. Yeah. So, and I heard from my friends, it's similar in Italy. I don't want to, in Europe, but I don't want to make any comments. I'm not that informed.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting learning curve.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. And as Felicia said, yeah, definitely making sure for emergency situations, making sure you have an address and phone number to call is really, really important.
Be prepared.
Yes, prepared. Yeah. You never know until it happens.
No, unfortunately, you don't. Well, both of you, looking back on your expat journeys, what lessons have you learned about prioritizing your health and well-being while living in a foreign country? And what advice would you give others when they're embarking on an adventure like this?
I would say my mindset changed over time because growing up in one country, I didn't know that much of the importance of culture, work environment, and work relationships because everyone was similar to me in terms of culture. But coming into the United States, I realized working hard is important, but having good relationships is also really important. And when you are in a different culture, you have to put more effort because first you have to understand the culture, you have to understand the dynamics. And it's also really important to get good exposure. So no matter how hard you work, it's really important, I believe, to get exposure to the culture. Making friends with locals, with natives there, watching the most favorite TV shows like Friends, Seinfeld, or How I Met Your Mother, because through those cultural connections, you make connections with people in your, both in your social life and at work. And those connections are also really good for your career. I will say to focus on getting good exposure of the culture and trying to adjust yourself to that culture and try to fit yourself to the culture. It is as important as the work you do.
No, that's some great advice.
Yeah.
That's some great advice. Felicia, what are your thoughts?
You know, like Berna said, it's all about your mindset. You know, first of all, you're already in this state of I'm going to be out of the country. I'm going to be around people I don't know. I don't know how they're going to be looking at me. I don't know how they're going to perceive me. So it's very, very important to have a very, very positive attitude. And like she said, learning some of the culture so you can strike up a conversation about something in their culture. And they'll look at you like, oh, well, yeah, she does have some brain sense. I mean, I strike up conversations here in the United States with people literally all the time. I just want to see people smile and laugh.
Yeah.
So if I can learn something, if I'm in another country, about something that they do or a piece of art that they may have or a certain place that they go, I can strike up a conversation in a grocery store or while I'm out on a trail walking or in the gym or something like that. And just kind of brings us together. You know, I'm like, okay, well, yep. I met a new friend. I met a new associate. Now I can get more information from them because 9 times out of 10, they're just going to just run off about their culture and try to give you as much information as possible. You understand? And for free.
That's true.
So, I just embraced it all. You know, I've made a lot of different friends. Oh, you know, when you come back, you come stay me when you want to come for vacation. You know, I got you. I mean, I've been invited to 2 weddings paid for. You understand? So it's just like you really meet people in your life that you're supposed to meet people. I truly, truly believe that, you know, and you can expel people out your life who's not supposed to be in your life. So you meet people for a reason. They're going to be your friend for a lifetime. You understand? So I think it's very, very important to build that type of relationship, even when you're working and in your free time when you're out the country. And then that one should always prioritize their health and strength.
No, I couldn't agree more. And it sounds like you've both been incredible in adapting to your new environments and keeping an open mind and building new support systems and making the most of the expat journey and certainly getting the most out of it by the sounds of it. So thank you for joining me today. This has been a really great and enlightening conversation and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
I want to give a big thank you to Felicia and Berna for coming on the show today and sharing all of their amazing insights and experiences. It really was great getting their perspectives. I also want to say thanks to all of you for listening today and taking part in our adventure. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're looking for more information and resources on what to consider when planning your big move and life in a foreign land, check out metlife.com/MWBWelcome. And don't forget that MetLife's 2024 Expat Employee Benefit Trend Study is now available at metlife.com/EBTS. It's loaded with incredible insights and information related to the latest shifts in the global workforce and so much more. So you definitely don't want to miss it. So until next time, I'm Helen Thompson, and this has been Stamp Your Passport, presented by MetLife Worldwide Benefits.
This podcast is sponsored by MetLife, and guests may be given consideration for appearing, but the views and opinions they express are their own.
This podcast was produced by Amaze Media Labs.